Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
Don't buy into their philosophies or their economy or anything else. Let your mind be renewed. Change your way of thinking. Let the Lord rule. God's goal is not sin management for you. That would be legalistic. Manage this, change this, do this. Bible says, now do it. That's sin management. But the Word of God applied to our life brings transformation, a renewed heart and way of thinking. We see things more clearly. We begin to see the way God sees and to think the way God thinks about things. But that only comes by applying that.
Are you applying God's Word to your life? In today's message from Pastor Troy, he teaches us that transformation happens in our lives when we apply God's Word and teaching to our lives. Reading His Word is great, but to have a transformed heart and a renewed mind, we need to apply it. Being in this world, it's easy to get deceived into the way the world thinks and operates. However, we can't pattern ourselves after the world. We need to renew our thinking by the Word of God and be sure to apply it. Now, here's Pastor Troy in Ephesians chapter 4 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
We'll do whatever it is we have to do within our own moral compass that we've established for ourselves, and we weigh those morals like, what's the gain? You know, if I lie just to lie, that's wrong. But if I lie for a good cause, then maybe that's not a bad lie. And so we have our own system of balancing things out that is simply a lie. That's why verse 19 describes them as being past feeling. They don't even feel the sense of conviction that they're even lost anymore. When someone does something wrong the first time, and they know it's wrong, there's always a sense of conviction. You know, maybe you teach your kids, or, you know, we teach in our culture that lying or stealing is wrong. And so the first time anything like that is done, there's an overwhelming sense of conviction. Like, did I get caught? Someone watching. You know, oh my goodness. But if nothing happens, well, that was not free candy. That was actually enjoyable and exhilarating. There can be a sense of addiction to it, you know. And so you have kleptomaniacs. And they steal for the thrill. And so you can take and you learn to get by with a lot of things. And every time you do it, you grow more and more calloused to the fact that it is wrong. Until one day, you might fight somebody who said it is wrong. You don't understand where I come from. You don't understand my situation. That's why we do this. That's why we do it that way. But it's wrong. The world today is in a place where they don't understand right and wrong. They don't. They're lost. I think it's lost now more than ever before, but I think it's just as lost as it's ever been. The only difference is we have so many more resources and things now that we can go further in our sin, in our depravity, because of the money and the doctors and everything else that will help contribute to our sinful nature, things that had never even been thought of in the past, we're able to do today because of advancements in technology and that. So I don't know that we're worse. We're just more innovative now and can delve even deeper into our sin and our ideas that are just wrong. So the Christian cannot model their life after the unsaved, who walk according to lewdness or lust, uncleanness and greediness, as he writes here, or selfishness, because they're dead in trespasses. But we are alive in Christ. We're alive to Him. We have a purpose. We have something higher that we live for. And so verse 20, we read, but you have not so learned Christ, If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So in the first part, we talked about the need to leave the world's thinking. Now we need to learn the Lord's thinking. We need to learn the Lord's thinking if we're going to have a new way of thinking, if we're going to change our way of thinking. Notice the emphasis is still on the way you think, your outlook, the mind. It says you've not so learned Christ. It means more than just learning about him. Like, you learned about Christ, and has to do with continually and consistently learning him, like he's not dead, but that he can actually give you insight because of his word, because of maybe some of them who had walked or seen him at some point. You've not learned him. More than just getting to know about him, it speaks of a relationship with him. See, I can learn about Abraham Lincoln today. I can learn what he did, all the decisions that he made, and I can go, oh, if I'm ever in that situation, that's what I should do. That was pretty wise, Abraham. That was great. I can learn all about him, but I can't learn him. I can't go, I'm in this situation. Abraham, what would you do? This wasn't in that book that I read. There's some differences in this. So what would you do, Abraham? He's not going to tell me. I can learn about him, but I can't learn him as I'm going. But we can learn Christ. We can ask questions. We can get insight. We're given the Holy Spirit of God who will counsel us and lead us. Christ is alive. One of the dangers in the church, it's creeping up again in the church, it seems, because as I'm listening to things that people will tell me to listen to, this is great, listen to this. And so I listen and I go, man, this is psychology. It's not Christ. It's men think this way, and therefore men and men and men do and men like, and men, and this is what you need to do, and women. And so there's this figuring out of who people are, and there's a lot of psychology, trying to figure people out, thinking patterns. What has caused someone? What did something in their mind? There's a lot of that beginning to permeate again into the church. And I believe, though it is a great medicine, a great science, that the push to psychologize the faith is an attempt to undermine and even replace God. Now, as a Christian, you might think, no, I would never do that. You wouldn't. But let me give you a statement that someone made about psychology and how they would like to have more people thinking on a higher level. And they said that people need things to help them change habits. People need cues. It's all about the mind. People make up things like God to help themselves establish good habits, because life is about good habit. Do you see how this undermines the existence, the reality of God, and putting your faith in him? Oh, I just need God to be something that I put, whatever it is, you know, Buddha, whatever it is, just something that will help me be accountable. So I set that thing up there. But really what's going on is my mind. In my mind, I'm making certain connections. Psychology is a great science. It's like science is a great science. Psychology is a great science for human behavior. But when psychology steps beyond science and begins to explain or become the authority on why humans behave the way they do, it crosses a spiritual boundary. Only God knows exactly why someone in their makeup is experiencing something and thinking certain things and feeling it a certain way. Now, science, the science of psychology, it delves into that to try to figure out some of those patterns, just like scientists, natural scientists, go and try to find patterns. But finding a pattern and saying, oh, here's how the sun rises, here's what goes on, does not exclude the fact that there is a God who sets that in motion and knows how it works. And that if he wants to, can defy that, can work beyond or outside of that law and set in motion that he established. The same thing with the human mind. though there are things that happen, you know, you have a bad day, you might have a nightmare, you make certain patterns for yourself and think lowly of yourself, so you act a certain way. Yes, these are things that do happen, and it hurts your relationships. These are things that happen. But the resolve is not a change of the science of the mind. It is getting your mind to be renewed by the Word of God, to see and think like God does. And then not only that, that's not all of it, but that relationship with God who helps you appropriately think and see the way that you should. The relationship with Him. Only God knows the exact causes and solutions for the effect of sin in each individual life. And that's why we are dependent upon Him. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 3 say, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue." I'll tell you what's wrong with our mind. Sin. Sin is wrong with it. The sin that we experience from others and the sin that we involve ourselves. I think it was last week maybe we talked about, or maybe it was this past Wednesday, we talked about how marriage. God says that there should be purity in marriage. No defiling anything. Save it all. So I can tell you a psychology that goes into marriage, of the mind that goes into marriage, and that is people don't do what God said. They violate that too early on. And so they go into marriage, and they may not think this, but they feel like they have a great trust for one another. We were going to get married, so we were committed, so we go in. But I believe there's something much deeper going on. Sin has entered now two individual lives so that trust has been broken. Because if the two people say, you know what, we're not going to do this. I will never do this with anybody, not even you, until I am married. Marriage means something to me. Now that other person goes, okay, marriage means something to them. Because not even I, who we're going to be married, could convince them otherwise. So there's a level of trust that can go into that marriage. But anytime it's broken, there's always in a person something that's weaker than it should have been when it's done God's way. And that is, if they would do that with me, if I could convince them, if things aren't going really, really well in our marriage, I am concerned that if they did this before marriage with me, they could do it with someone else, because marriage isn't that significant to them, or they would have waited. What's significant is we're in love. And if they're in love with someone else, I'm a goner. They're not thinking this. And they may even say, no, I trust them completely. But the truth is, according to God's word, sin has entered the picture. And sin does a more devastating work. Just takes a tiny, tiny bit. It says a little leaven leavens the whole lump. So that everything that we do in life that we don't do the way God says to do it has an effect we don't realize.
Pastor Troy will return soon with the second part of today's message, so be sure to stay tuned. If you'd like to listen to more teachings from Building on the Solid Rock, we invite you to visit our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. Pastor Troy has been teaching verse by verse through the Bible for a while. You can listen online to our archive of these messages. You can also download each teaching to listen to later or share with your friends and family. You can even subscribe to the Building on the Solid Rock podcast through iTunes. That way you'll never miss a teaching and you'll be notified as soon as we make these messages available. Find a link to subscribe when you visit buildingonthesolidrock.com. Now, here's Pastor Troy with the continuation of today's message. Building on the solid
ground. Parents all the time say, we did everything right. That has not happened on planet Earth. Not even Adam and Eve did everything right. They fell. And you see the consequences very quickly. So the truth is, we don't do everything right. We do a lot of things wrong, and they add up, and they reproduce, and a little leaven leavens the whole lump. So the goal for us is to get our eyes on Christ, to get our hearts set upon Him. He heals everything. If we follow Him, He makes everything right. Now, in this world, nothing will ever be perfect, because if it were just up to you and you walked perfectly, there's still other sinners, and you're still going to have accidents outside, people who hate and all those things, violence. But our lives can be organized and repaired and restored and made whole, set on a right course if we would trust the Lord. So Paul's argument is, you no longer live for the corrupt nature and the futility of your mind like them. You know the truth. You belong to the kingdom of God. You have a purpose. You know the Lord. So don't walk like them. He says in verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. This is a righteousness and a holiness that's according to truth, not the world's standard. The world will give you all sorts of definitions of righteous and right. Theirs is wrong. In fact, the scripture says your righteousness is as filthy rags, because it does nothing in regard to building up or pursuing the kingdom of heaven. As you read God's word and you apply it, the mind begins to understand it. You read it, and it makes a little sense. Okay, I get that. It makes enough sense that you're able to obey it. But it doesn't make complete sense until you obey it. And then you see, you go, wow, wow, God knows what he's doing. I would have never imagined that that little change, that little thing would do this much in our family or in the workplace. Little tiny things that God's, when God is dealing with something in your life, it's bigger than you think. It'll make more difference than you think. God wants to deal with that? That doesn't make any sense. That won't do. I need to, give me a big thing to deal with, Lord. I need some transformation. I need some change. Because you don't understand. It's the little things that you think are so little that are so big. So, as you read God's word and apply it, over time, you're changed. And your heart is changed because you realize, wow, he's right. He knows what he's doing. See, out of the gate, right out of the box, our conscience is not completely reliable. When we come to faith in Christ, even then, boom, all right, now I got to be governed by my conscience. No, not yet, because your conscience has been calibrated by the world. So what you need is you need your mind renewed. You need to calibrate that conscience. You're going to find a lot of things that you thought were right, and you go, that's wrong? I never saw it as wrong before, but let me think about that. And then you begin to see God's ways. You begin to think more clearly. If you're not careful, you can become kind of legalistic. People are not where you're at. And if you start trying to impose those things too fast and too suddenly on everyone else, they're not there. They don't get it. They don't see it yet. So God is causing you to become a light. And one day, those who are a little behind, they'll look and they'll go, how do you do what? Man, your life is transformed. I've been trying to walk with the Lord all these years and you just grow right past me. What's going on? Well, here's what the Lord spoke to my heart and here's what we did. Well, I heard that too, but I didn't think that was all that important. I didn't think that sounded right. And you become a light. And then they have to take it or leave it if they want to grow. But we're continually being changed, growing in our understanding, and our conscience is being calibrated. You know, the conscience of a criminal causes him to defend his friends. That's his conscience. I mean, we think our conscience is a good thing. Don't go against your conscience. And so his conscience says, look, the right thing to do. I mean, the whole culture, the whole world teaches us, don't tattle, don't do this. And so if I do this, if I rat, then I'm wrong, I'm bad. And so I'm not going to do that. But his conscience is miscalibrated. He's wrong. See, the police, they need to get to the truth in this matter. And in this case, he needs to go, look, what we're doing is wrong. And hiding wrong is not good. So this isn't about tattling. This is about telling. I need to tell the truth for the sake of what's right. You see how conscience can get very miscalibrated? You know, I've heard some say you can't sacrifice your family at the altar of, you know, ministry. And I understand what that means because I've seen that. It's that workaholic mentality. You're just in and the family never sees you. They're left behind. They're always in want. And I try to balance it. I have a solid day that I take off a week. But there are a lot of sacrifices that you make serving the Lord and following him. And I've talked to, you know, my kids about sometimes the sacrifices that we make of time. And I can tell you guys, and I've told them honestly, that if I weren't focusing on the Lord first, I don't mean that they get no time. This is just making sure your priorities are the Lord first and then everything else. If I didn't put the Lord, not ministry first, the Lord first, then their dad or their husband would be different. It would not be good. I've heard so many say, no, you have to put family first, even to before the Lord. And let me tell you, if I did that, they would not have the father that they have. I have to put the Lord first because that's what makes me different than I used to be. It's easy. If I get back into the old mode to get hyper competitive or hyper whatever, when I'm focusing on the wrong things, when I put the Lord first, they have a better version of me. And so it is a good thing. The sacrifices that we make for the Lord are a good thing. The results are worth it. Where the Word of God and the conscience disagree, where the Word of God and the conscience disagree, faith follows the Word of God. That's why it's so important that we renew our minds, so that we're given a new and true way of thinking, so that we learn Christ. Romans 12:2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." From the Lord's perspective, everything gets better when we commit ourselves to Him completely. Matthew 19:29 says this, Jesus speaking, "And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life." The emphasis on that life ahead. Matthew 6:33, Jesus' words, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." That is everything that you need to live life, the basics. So don't follow the lost world. Don't buy into their philosophies or their economy or anything else. Let your mind be renewed. Change your way of thinking. Let the Lord rule. God's goal is not sin management for you. That would be legalistic. Manage this, change this, do this. Bible says, now do it. That's sin management. But the Word of God applied to our life brings transformation, a renewed heart and way of thinking. We see things more clearly. We begin to see the way God sees and to think the way God thinks about things. But that only comes by applying that. Then eyes are opened and transformation advances. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." How are we being transformed? The Spirit of the Lord. Working on the inside, leading us. He sees the little things that need to be transformed and changed and dealt with. And so he says, hey, let's change this in our life. Hey, respond this way instead of the way you normally do. And see if it makes a difference. And we're thinking, it's not going to make any difference. I need to make a point here. So, see, we're just going to keep making the same mistakes. We'll talk next time about grieving the Holy Spirit. Next time we'll see Paul contrast the old man and the new man. Some things that happen as a result of the old man and why they should be different in the thinking of the new man. The key to transformation, taking in the Word of God, that's renewing your mind, obeying the Word of God by faith, that's gaining an understanding, which leads to a genuine transformation in true righteousness and holiness, which is from God. That's why it's so important to change your way of thinking.
Thanks for joining us today on Building on the Solid Rock. We hope you've learned something new from Pastor Troy's study in the book of Ephesians and that your faith has been strengthened along the way. If you'd like to hear today's message again, please visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. We also have an archive of previous messages available to you free of charge, ready to be listened to online or even downloaded and shared with friends and family. You'll also find our podcast on iTunes. And when you subscribe, you'll have updated messages as soon as they're available. We're so blessed to be a part of your life in this way, and we'd love to hear how you've been impacted by Building on the Solid Rock. Feel free to send us an email at info@buildingonthesolidrock.com. We love being able to connect with our listeners in this way, and your feedback helps us continue to build this ministry. Pastor Troy will have much more to share next time on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in